Right now, that the U.S. Attorney's Office is going to disclaim all knowledge.
Of course,
they're going to say, "No, we obey the law. We don't allow. We don't countenance. We don't countenance agents who handle informants and allow them to commit crimes."
On Monday, February 4th, beginning with Wake Up Call at 6 a.m., WBAI begins its winter fundraising drive. During the last year, the station has gone through some difficult times, but there are bigger and better times ahead. We need you to become listener sponsors of this unique radio station to keep WBAI as a sanctuary for free speech. To volunteer for the marathon, you can call Richard Anton at area code 212-209-2827. That's 212-209-2827. And a final note, due to increased security at 120 Wall Street after 9/11, you'll need a picture ID to enter the building, but not WBAI.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend.
And it's just about 8 o'clock. You are listening to newly liberated WBAI in New York, where it's time once again for a fundraising edition of Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bones was the best.
Good evening to one and all. The program is Off the Hook. Manuel Goldstein with you for the next hour this week as we update you on things going on in the world in general this week, and also try to keep this place going, try to keep this place afloat. And you know, I don't think I ever realized, well, of course, I realized how important this place was, but I haven't realized so dramatically over the past few days. I think it's something that maybe a lot of us New Yorkers, a lot of people in New York, if you're in New York, you have to bear with me tonight, because this is pretty much a New York show because of the things that happened here over the past few days. I think if you were in New York, you would have kind of felt the gap, certainly in the mass media, that WBAI filled here at 99.5 FM. I'm talking, of course, about the World Economic Forum, which came into town last week. In fact, after the radio show, we ventured up to where the World Economic Forum is taking place because, you know, as hackers, you always want to see just what's going on and see how they're preparing and look for all kinds of interesting things that you can talk about if you're lucky enough to have a radio show to talk about them on. And this is last Tuesday night. Last Tuesday. I mean, it's pretty early on. The conference wasn't even supposed to really kick off until Friday. Lexington Avenue, the whole midtown part was having all those concrete barriers installed and policemen every place. And it looked like an armed camp. It really did. And I was stunned. I was flabbergasted by it. What were they expecting? What were they expecting people to do? You know, I mean, basically, I've been to many protests in my life, and I've never seen anything quite like this. I've never seen this level of paranoia. And somewhere along the lines, the terrorist paranoia has crossed over into the fear of activism community. which I think is most of America right now, where they somehow think that that activists are the real threat to society. And in fact, it's just the opposite. Activists are the hope of society. And that's something I found out this weekend. I didn't find it out. It was reaffirmed. And if you were there, we'll try to take phone calls later. I'd like to know if people were around for that. Certainly, if you listen to WBAI, you actually heard something that you might not have heard in a while, and that was live coverage of an historic event taking place in the streets of New York. Now, actually, Mike, I don't know where Mike is. He has a few experiences to relate, but unfortunately he's not here, so I don't know how he's going to relate them. But he was caught up in the midst of it, as was I. And, you know, I didn't really mean to be. Didn't really mean to be caught right in the midst of things. I, to a degree, yes. To a degree, I meant to be, but to another degree, I didn't. And let me explain what that means. Basically, as I said, people in the hacker world like to learn things. They like to, I guess, infiltrate is a not too dangerous word to use. And, of course, when you see something like this going on, remember, Tuesday night, the ARM camp was going up. I just had to know more, you know. I had to become part of what was going on here, learn more about just what kinds of security measures were taking place. And much to my surprise, I was able to secure a hotel room, not in the Waldorf Astoria, where the World Economic Forum was taking place, but across the street in the Marriott on Lexington Avenue. It was expensive as hell, but it was in the frozen zone. The frozen zone. I mean, we had a city with a frozen zone. Basically, what a frozen zone is, it means you can't walk down the street. You can't walk into a particular neighborhood. You can't cross the street or you know, walk across an avenue. All these things we take for granted. Nope, sorry, unless you have proper ID, you can't come down here. Why? Because a bunch of billionaires are meeting in a building? Okay, you know, a bunch of billionaires can meet in a building. Why does that mean everybody else in the world has to stay away? You know, I thought we kind of like commingled in the city, in America, that kind of thing. But apparently those days are over. So yeah, the whole city was sealed in that particular part, in the frozen zone. But because I was able to register a room, they had to let me in. They had to let me in. And it was great, too, because a shapeshifter from Philadelphia came up. If you might recall, he was held after the Republican National Convention in Philadelphia by the Philadelphia police. In fact, they held him on $250,000 bail because he was so dangerous. And, in fact, later it turned out that there was no basis for those charges at all, and all the charges were found to be without merit. And currently there is a lawsuit going on against the city of Philadelphia to get some justice as far as that goes. And we'll be following that case, certainly. And Shapeshifter also is our layout artist for 2600 Magazine. And really what was interesting was the fact that here were two, I guess, people that show up on the radar screen of various governmental agencies. Yet they had to let us into the frozen zone because we had those reservations. You know, it's the same trick that we pulled during the New Year celebrations in 2001 and 2000, where basically you get a hotel reservation right there, and they have to let you into the frozen zone, or the zone where all the people are, and you can kind of maneuver your way into a better spot. Well, this was cool because we were able to maneuver our way into the place where we belonged, even though they really treated us like we didn't belong there. You know, I mean, they searched our bags. They you know, did all kinds of things when we walked into our own hotel. But, you know, it was all part of the learning experience. So we didn't get mad. We didn't get angry. We didn't get vengeful. We thought it was funny. We thought it was hilarious. It was weird, though, because we stuck a big do not disturb sign on our doors, and because we didn't want anybody going through there and, you know, going through our stuff or, you know, messing anything up. We went out for coffee at one point, and then came back in about 20 minutes later, and everything was all cleaned. Even though we had a do not disturb sign on the door, everything was all clean. That tells me that somebody was out there watching, seeing exactly when we left. I mean, you don't do it through, you know, ESP. Somehow you know when people are in the room, when they're not, and when there's a do not disturb sign on the door. So there was some wacky stuff going on there. But that's not the whole story. It gets even better. Do you know that the Waldorf Astoria, Mike's here. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Hang on. Let me turn your mic on, Mike. I'll try that one.
Okay.
There you go. Didn't get beaten up by cops on the way over.
No, I didn't get beat up by cops. Okay. I ran into subway trains that just stopped.
I took an evil number two today.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it.
Well, the evil twos, just to get off track for a second. Mm. Oh, and by the way, we are trying to raise money tonight. We're going to get into that in a second. Big time. because it's very important. What we did was we wrote on a number two going downtown, and it was, as you mentioned, it was after World Trade Center, they make the twos run local now.
Right.
Now, these are the new automated trains, the new highly sophisticated technical trains that don't need humans to read the stations to you and are able to function perfectly. Well, it's been a catastrophe, a total catastrophe, because not only are they giving out the wrong information on those recordings because there's new trains like the V train and the W train and trains that don't exist anymore like the 9 train, But they can't replace the signs, apparently, in every car, two in every car, that tell you what trains to transfer to.
Right.
But the two has become a local for some reason, although the announcement still calls it the 7th Avenue Express, even though it stops at every stop.
They say this is a Brooklyn-bound 2 express train.
Yeah. Well, except our train didn't do that. They turned that off, but it was flashing last stop on every single car was flashing last stop, and the little dot was flashing over 241st Street. So that train was being told that it was at 241st Street, and God knows what was going on inside its logic boards. But it just goes to show that the human touch for something like this is extremely important. You know, you can't just automate things without some kind of flexibility, a plan.
I mean, this is the sort of mistake that no human would ever make. I mean, it's totally impossible to call a local train an express train.
You could make it once, but somebody would correct you. Yeah.
Right. I mean, but if you're a subway driver, you presumably know these things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But if you're a computer, you apparently just cannot be told.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get back to the World Economic Forum. Which also had some wacky subway things going on. In fact, at the 2600 meeting last Friday, all kinds of things were closed off, and you had to walk all the way around to get into subways and all kinds of other things. But there are businesses inside the Waldorf Astoria. The Waldorf Astoria is where the actual conference was taking place. Very expensive hotel. I couldn't get a room in there. If I could, I would have tried. You know, it would have been fun, to say the least. But what I was able to do, through some inside information, I guess, just people telling me various facts that were very handy, I decided that this was a good day to get my eyebrows waxed. And there's a place inside where you can do that. You can get your eyebrows. Look how nice my eyebrows are. You can get them waxed. And I decided, well, 12:30 p.m. on that Saturday would be a good time for me to do this. And so I called, made that appointment, and they had to let me in. They had to let me into the Waldorf Astoria in the middle of the World Economic Forum. There was nothing they could do. The Secret Service took our IDs and went somewhere to look us up. I'm surprised they didn't find anything, but they came back, and they said, okay, you're going to be escorted by the policeman with the blue jacket. They took us into this into the entrance where we had to... and here's the thing. We had to put our bags and, phones and things through the metal detector. Although, the phones we put in this ice bucket. You know, hotels have ice buckets in every room. Well, they used an ice bucket instead of one of those, like, airline trays. And so we put our phones in there. And you know what? These people didn't even check my Altoid box again. Stuck the Altoid box into the ice bucket, and they didn't pass it through the metal detector. They just put it onto the other side. So who knows what could have been in that Altoid box. Of course, there were Altoids in there, but that's because it was me. So anyway, after our appointment was done and we left, we, of course, decided to go out the Park Avenue exit rather than the Lexington Avenue exit so we could walk through the entire hotel to get there. And we actually passed the entrance to the WEF conference, and we saw WEF people, and they looked very uneasy. They looked very unhappy. They were just, they didn't look like they were having that much fun. I'm sorry.
What does a WEF delegate look like?
They look like just uneasy people. I mean, you know, they're wearing suits and little WEF labels on their jackets. There were computer terminals set up in various places. And I actually walked around and milled a little bit, but that only lasted about 20 seconds before they realized that we didn't have a badge. We didn't look like we belonged there. But I did ask the Secret Service guy if I could take a picture, and he said, sure, go ahead. And I took a picture. And then one of the WEF coordinators yelled at him and said, why'd you let him take a picture? That's unauthorized. And so apparently that caused great damage to WEF, allowing me to take a picture. But everybody was pretty nice, you know. Of course, we had Uzis surrounding us all the time, which, I don't know if that really made things very nice, but certainly felt secure against what was going on outside. Now, what was going on outside? Well, you may ask, because it certainly wasn't represented in the media. When we walked outside, we saw that there were demonstrators across the street. They were being pinned in. You know, I remember demonstrations. You used to be able to demonstrate outside places, but these days you have to be corralled into this little, like, you know, farmyard area where there are fences around you, and there's barely enough room to breathe, and you get one per block, and then, you know, the groups are separated by the street. So that went up for about 8 blocks, people demonstrating. And then there was a rally that was taking place on 59th Street and Columbus, not Columbus Circle, 59th Street and 5th Avenue, right?
Right.
And those people marched down, I think it was a third of Lexington Avenue, because they needed the rest of Lexington Avenue, I guess, for the cops to stand. So they crowded everybody into this little tiny part of Lexington Avenue, but still everybody walked down and, you know, seemed happy and peaceful and that kind of thing. And I joined the march after a while. I saw so many people there, so many BAI supporters as well. And after a while, they made us march to this really circuitous route. It wasn't like you can march straight down Lexington Avenue. How did it go?
Well, the route was close to, although not exactly what the organizers had requested on their permit. Uh-huh. The original permit asked for 42nd Street, which didn't happen, but the circuitousness of it was to prolong the length of the march.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, it certainly was a long march. It lasted a few hours. And somehow, and again, this is what I don't understand, how I always seem to wind up in these situations, but somehow I wound up in a pen of people, which is basically, you know, a block surrounded by fences, on Park Avenue and 47th Street, I believe. This was on Saturday. And all of a sudden, we had the pens closed around us. You know, there's a building on one side, there was a pen facing the street, and there was a fence, facing the street, and fences facing each block, 46th Street, 47th Street. So we were stuck in there. Things started to get kind of weird because the police surrounded it and started acting as if they were going to rush us for some reason. We were standing there inside this pen that we didn't make. You know, we were just forced into the pen. And I wasn't there to do any civil disobedience. I don't think you were. We were just there to talk to people, you know, march and you know, have a nice day out. It got really weird when they just started looking really hostile. They took their nightsticks out. They started advancing towards us, and it just seemed like something bad was really, really imminent. And how did that go? It lasted for a good half hour, I think, where basically it was a face-off of some sort.
It was a weird face-off.
It was a very strange face-off because the cops were assuming that we were going to do something, and we had no intention of doing anything. All we wanted to do was be there, you know, standing on a sidewalk. And that was it, you know, and everybody was waiting for someone to make the next move. And after about a half hour of tenseness, all of a sudden, they opened up the gate, and everybody cheered, you know, and they were very friendly, thanking the cops, that kind of thing. And we were able to walk up. But then we found out that all they had done was open up the gate to a bigger pen so that we now had up to 48th Street, but we still couldn't get out. So we were still kind of pinned in there and trapped. It took quite a while, but eventually, we were able to get out. But it was an experience that did not have to happen. And, you know, the cops were kind of frustrated because I think they were expecting trouble, and there was no trouble coming their way. And that kind of was the theme of the whole weekend because, if you notice, if you're in New York City, you might have noticed every single Starbucks had at least one cop in front of it. Every single Starbucks. Now, let's explore the logic of this for a second. All right. Now, in Seattle in 1999, there were demonstrations against the World Trade Organization. Now, how many Starbucks windows got smashed?
One.
One? Okay.
Maybe two. I don't know.
All right. So some idiot smashed a window. All right, in Seattle, home of Starbucks, where Starbucks came from. So there's bound to be a little bit of animosity. That somehow got translated to every single Starbucks needing 24-hour protection from these hordes of people who had never said that they were going to do something like this.
Actually, no, not 24-hour protection, which I find the odd thing. When I pass by some Starbucks late at night, because if you're out late at night, it's impossible not to pass by a Starbucks, the police were gone.
Really?
Now, if I were going to smash a window, which I have no intention of doing, I would do it late at night when there's no one there to see me. But
see, I saw something completely opposite. I saw them there at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Okay.
So maybe they just went somewhere else for coffee. But that's the kind of tension that we had to face in the city of overreaction, of being... And the media ate it all up and regurgitated it to the masses. So if you weren't listening to WBAI, even anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world probably, you probably heard that a really nasty situation was averted by the police. That's not true at all. That's not what happened. Ask somebody who was there it was a peaceful rally, you know, a peaceful march, as is our democratic right to do. Yet somehow, these days, we're told that that we have to be penned in like animals. We have to have a really fearsome police presence. And it's not good. It's not something. It's a bad movement that we're facing here. It got worse on Sunday. Sunday was when there were some civil disobedience actions scheduled. And again, somehow I wound up in the middle of it. This was because I was down on was it 12th Street and 3rd Avenue, or was it 13th Street? One of those.
It was 12th Street.
It was 12th Street because the cars were going eastbound.
But there were.
There were actions all over the place, but
no,
this
but
particular intersection.
I have to clarify, on 12th Street, there were two separate sort of blocks or protesters, mm-hmm. one on 2nd Avenue and one on 3rd. I can't speak to what was happening on 2nd Ave, but as someone who was there on 3rd Ave, I can say that all the protesters were on the sidewalk, obeying traffic laws, not even jaywalking.
Well, okay, let's go over what happened here. Basically, it started with about maybe 8 people dancing in a circle in the street. Okay, you know, these things happen, and in any other country, almost any other country, 8 people dancing around in a circle, you know, inside a street, it would be, you know, a pain in the ass maybe, and maybe it would block traffic for a little while, but that would be it, you know. We had 4 helicopters, we had hundreds of police cars and trucks and buses and all kinds of things like that. It was as if we were being invaded. And then finally, the funny thing is, the police were able to push those people onto the sidewalk. So it wasn't like they were even trying to stay in the street. They pushed them all onto the sidewalk, and again, the whole pen thing started. So we were all corralled into these little tiny pens. And that's when things got kind of weird, because there wasn't enough room for us to stand. And I was in the front. I was taking pictures, and I kept falling into the street. And every time I fell into the street, the cop would yell at me like, I was doing it intentionally. But there was no way to stay there. And finally, in the sickest part of it all, they just charged us. They just charged into the crowd like we were standing there, taking pictures, not even chanting, just standing, watching. They charged into the crowd. And I got kicked, I got hit by a nightstick. I don't know, because I got bruises on both my feet. But if I had done that to a cop, that cop would, of course, be, you know, on the front page of all the papers and, you know, listed as injured and a hero and that kind of thing. Well, what the hell happens to people when they're just standing on a street? And then finally, after about an hour of this mayhem, where they started arresting people for, you know, I guess because they looked like, you know, they were agitators or something. Really, they were just standing on the sidewalk, weren't even in the street. They came up to us with a big megaphone, which wasn't necessary because, you know, we could hear what they were saying. And they told us that we were blocking pedestrian traffic, and if we didn't move, we would be arrested. And I said to the guy, where are we supposed to move to? Where are we supposed to go? You have it blocked here, 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 and here. And then, you know, in typical totalitarian fashion, they said, no, you're free to go anytime. It's like, wow, I'm free to go anytime with all these barricades and cops with nightsticks. Okay, thank you. And I just walked right through them. Right through the line of cops. I was expecting to get whacked in the head or something, but to my surprise, I didn't. I used their logic against them and just walked through the line across the street. And I think a few other people followed, but some people got arrested in back for not following fast enough.
In truly Orwellian fashion, mm-hmm. any protester who got beat up and injured by the police was charged with assault.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that
because if you get beat up by the police, well, then you must have done something to deserve it.
Yeah. Of course. You know, this is something you have to ask people who were there. Nothing annoys me more than people who sit at home watching mass media, you know, consuming and asking, what do these protesters want? Why don't you find out? Why don't you talk to them? Why don't you come down? Why don't you witness it firsthand? And don't judge based on what the mass media tells you, because I've never seen such lies. I mean, CNN, cable news network, estimated the crowd on Saturday at nearly 2,000. Now, even the police estimated it at 15,000 plus. And many people are saying it was over 20,000. And, you know, you just can't have that many people filling that kind of area and have it be such a low number. And later the next day, they had revised their figure to 1,000. So they're just telling complete lies. And how are you going to check that? How are you ever going to say, oh, no, you're wrong, I can prove it? Nobody does. Nobody is interested in doing that. It's really a sad situation. The media has really not done its job and has taken sides. I mean, you know, the media basically just bought into the whole violent protester thing. And it's a really sad thing. I think we've seen a lot of parallels to this in our world, you know, when we're talking about computer hackers and we're talking about how they just don't get it and how they don't want to get it. Same thing. the same basic thing. They get their script from the people up above, and they read it word for word.
While we're talking about the evils of the corporate mass media,
mm-hmm.
The way many of these actions are planned is through what's called a spokes council meeting, where each little group of protesters sends a representative, and the media and the police are explicitly disinvited. It's a private internal meeting. But what happened was at least two newspapers, the Post and the Independent of London, infiltrated the meetings. They mm-hmm. lied. When asked, is any media here, they kept quiet. If I were to sneak into an internal meeting of the Post, mm-hmm. I would be charged with trespass and God knows what else. But they can do it.
Well, imagine if you trespassed onto the World Economic Forum. If you managed to get into one of them, you'd probably be shot on the spot. It's insane. And the only way to counter this kind of thing is to become the media yourself and report on these things and support places like WBAI. And what a great segue into what we're supposed to be talking about tonight, which is supporting this place. I was very proud to hear the snippets from WBAI this past weekend, where we combined forces with the Indie Media Center and WBIX and told people what was going on firsthand and basically got information out that nobody else was getting out. Now, as you know, we've been through hell over the past, 14 months now. But the light is here. The light has come from the end of the tunnel, and we have the place back. You have the place back. But we are facing crippling financial problems as a result of the shenanigans that went on, all the wasted money. And, of course, people say this is not fair. This is not something that we should have to cover because of some corrupt person who was, taking over radio stations, taking over radio networks. True. It is very true. And we do intend to fight that here. We do intend to bring people to justice. But in the interim, we have to pay the bills. There's just no way around that. So that's where we need your help. Now, it's our number is 212-209-2950 to make a pledge. This is probably the most important fund drive that I've been part of because it's the first one since the station has come back. And for those people who have been boycotting, and again, you know, I expressed reservations about the boycott over the year, but I totally understand why people did it. But for those of you who did boycott and didn't support the station with your donations, well, hopefully you saved that money and you're willing to do it now. I mean, it's there's no better time than now to show your support for our newly liberated WBAI. 212-209-2950. Now, we got $25 while I was talking, which is nice. But we sure need a lot more than that. We're only on for an hour tonight. Not sure if we're on next week. We'll see what happens. There are different levels, different pledge levels. There's the $50 basic membership. And there's the $25 for people who can afford to make a donation, but can't afford to make a big donation. And that's for people in that category. And then $75 as a membership, you get a WBAI cap or tote bag or T-shirt or coffee mug. You can choose any one of those. What we're going to do is, in our own little way here, and maybe this is something that we should tell the tally people so they don't get angry at us. But basically, we'll throw in a 2600 T-shirt, a brand new one, that they're being made right now. In fact, those of you who have pledged over the last two pledge drives, yes, we mentioned those T-shirts then as well. It took us a long time to design them, but I can tell you right now they are almost ready because I saw the check go out for for paying for them, so I know they're being printed right now, and they should be done in about a week. They're going to go out to everybody. So anybody who calls up with a pledge at any of those levels, 25, 50, 75, we'll throw that in as well. Or above. You know, we could really use some very high pledges as well just to get this place back on its feet. I've seen a lot of spirit here that has come back, seen a lot of happiness. We need to share that. We need to bring people back into our family. We have about three phone calls on the line, so we have room for about 10. We have a lot of volunteers down there. That's another thing. There's a lot of people in the tally room as opposed to the last few fund drives. I think there were three people there. Now there's 10, 12. So it's a big difference, and we are making that difference. We can all join together. 212-209-2950. Again, $50 basic membership, $25 senior student, or if you're laid off, victim of the economy, $75 membership with a cap, tote bag, or a T-shirt, coffee mug, and $150 membership with all those items. And, of course, we'll throw in our T-shirt as well. In fact, how about you? Would you like to run in there and just let them know that in the tally room so they don't get angry when people start inquiring about the T-shirts. Yeah, I should have done that earlier. I'm sorry. 212-209-2950. I see we have about 8 calls on the line. That's great. That really is great. I want to thank all the people that that I saw over the weekend who expressed support for the station in words, and the people who have sent letters as well. It makes such a big difference just to attach faces to names or just to hear voices and to know that they're out there and listening and supporting. It's a miracle that this place is actually here. It really is. Minimum is about 25. Any of these pledges, 25, 50. So any pledge 25 or over, we'll throw in a T-shirt. At great cost to us, I might point out. We're not selling these to the station. We're giving them to the station. And in fact, we're going to be donating ourselves just to keep this this place going, because we believe in it so much. Auto Jack is here from California. How you doing?
Good evening.
Now, you've been following the BAI shenanigans for the past year, I know, because I've been sharing some of these MP3s with you. And in fact, people all over the country have been listening through our server.
Yep. I've been doing the best I can.
Yeah.
Try and keep myself updated.
So what do you make of all this? You've come here for the first time, I think, since last year.
Yeah, last year was seemed like a completely different place.
Oh, look at those phone lines. Look at all those phone calls. That's so great. If the phone keeps ringing, please, just hang on. Somebody will get to you. We have 15 phones ringing right now. That's I can't tell you how that makes me feel, knowing people are out there. I went to a party on Saturday night, being held by some of the activists on a boat, and a bunch of us got up on stage to give our experiences, and I talked about the whole mess that happened on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And when I mentioned that we were from WBAI, the newly liberated WBAI, a cheer like you would not believe broke out. People are so happy to have this place here for them. And the reason it stays here for them is because the people are there to support us. You're the sponsors. You're the people that replace the commercials that you don't hear. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass having to hear us beg for money. But unlike other places that beg for money, we don't have underwriting. We don't have commercials. We don't have this corporate sponsorship. We do it from the heart. You know, it came really close to losing the place. We came so close. Mm. And it was really hard. Now, Auto Jack, you heard not only BAI, you heard other stations as well on the Pacifica Network.
Yeah, I was listening to, I think it was KPFK in Los Angeles. And, I don't know, like, a few days before, like, the whole liberation thing started to happen, there was quite a bit of, I don't want to say drama, because that word gets used a lot, mm-hmm. but...
Melodrama.
Melodrama, yeah.
It wasn't very mellow, either.
Yeah. It was just people, bad. Like, basically crying on the radio, you know?
Uh-huh.
It was, I don't know, I'm glad it's getting better around here, and it seems a lot more free and interesting, you know?
When you come in here, I mean... Just to give you an example of one of the first weeks back, there have been several weeks now, and every week has been great. I mean, I'm looking through, the stupid video monitor is still here, but the door is propped open. And I think that's kind of a symbol of WBAI. We, you know, the idiots who took over the place, they insisted on buying this heavy-duty security system. It's the same mentality that has a cop guarding every Starbucks, because we have to protect the place against the evil horrors outside that want to destroy us. Well, this is the evil hordes are now inside, and this place sounds better than ever. So can take that attitude and take it somewhere else, because it does not apply here. But something that happened in the first couple of weeks, when people were just getting settled in, we had the station meeting, the local advisory board, the one that was shut out last year. And in fact, we had the cops called and people were arrested, and we broadcast it live. A couple of weeks ago, we had a successful meeting here at the radio station. And Valerie, the general manager who's returned to her job after being ousted in December 2000, saw the box of paper holding open the door, and she said, we can't have a box of paper holding open the door. And I was getting a little worried. And she said, no, we've got to use the paper. Let's put a microphone stand there instead. So it wasn't a closed-door policy. It's not a closed-door policy. It's an open-door policy. Yes, to get into the building, because of all the 911 shenanigans, they request ID. That's just to get into the building. To get into the station, you know, it's free and open, and it's something that we want people to participate in. 212-209-2950. We still have a lot of phone calls on the line, but we could certainly use more. Again, there you told them about the shirts. They're not angry or anything?
No, they're thrilled.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. Yeah, we want to throw in as much as we can.
How can I get one?
How can you get one? We'll talk after the show.
No, how can anyone get one?
Well, they'll be on the website. once they're actually released. But these people, the people who are pledging, the people who pledged to the previous fundraiser for these same shirts that we were designing then, they're designed, they're made up, and I can tell you something about them, too. They will get them as soon as we get the names of the people that pledged. And if you pay by credit card, that's instant. And if you pay by check, it's as soon as your check clears. These shirts are kind of a history of all the legal problems that 2600 has had. It's kind of like a corporate road tour of all the lawsuits that we've had to endure. So it's an unusual shirt, kind of different than what we've usually done. I think it's going to open up quite a few eyes. And, of course, it has to be changed in years to come because I'm sure we'll get more lawsuits. But for now, it's accurate and on target. And that's something that you will get with your pledge in addition to all the other nice things, nice BAI things. But, you know, that's not the reason to call if you're calling just for that. That's not the reason. The reason is because you have to invest in this place to keep it going. You know, it's unlike anything else anywhere near this place. Unlike anything else. Just tune around and you'll find out. Listen to some of the audio on the internet as to what this place sounded like during the dark period and see what almost happened to us. 212-209-2950. Again, $25 basic membership, senior citizens, students, or generally poor people that can afford to send us something, but, you know, aren't so poor that we don't want people to, you know, send their food money to us. We wouldn't want that. $50 is the basic membership. $75, you get a BAI cap or tote bag or T-shirt or coffee mug. And for $150, you get all those things. And everybody who pledges $25 or more gets the 27 T-shirt thrown in. Seraph is here. How you doing?
Yes, hello. How you doing?
Pretty good. What's new with you?
Not too much, but, you know, this is the first time I've come to this station in a very, very long time and seen that door propped open with a paper or a mic stand or anything at all.
Yeah, isn't it great?
It's fantastic.
I'm looking at it right now. I mean, I want this monitor out of here. We're still looking for somebody to buy the security system, but what a waste that was. That kind of thing is not going to be happening anymore. We're going to actually be investing in programming, in equipment, getting things fixed, and keeping the place, providing you with information like we did this past weekend. If you tuned in at all this past weekend, you know what we mean. Great coverage Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of what was going on. The only place where you could really hear the sounds. I mean, I watched so much mass media, and it got me so angry. Basically, it averaged about 20 seconds. And, of course, all of it focused on the police keeping the city safe. And, you know, I'm not putting down the police. There's very nice people there, you know, and some of them are very polite. But there's a problem. There's a problem with the whole organization. And I saw this on Sunday. You know, when we were standing there peacefully on the street just watching, you know, the cops were nice people. They were talking amongst themselves, you know, patting themselves on the back, exchanging small talk with some of the protesters. But then they got the order. You know, this is the thing that makes them different. They got the order to advance and to just start whacking people with their nightsticks or kicking people, whatever else it is that they felt they had the right to do. Now, the people I know, the individual people, everybody sitting in this room, would think before doing something like that. If I told all these people to advance and start kicking somebody, I think most of them would tell me what I could do. And most of them would at least think for themselves. The way the organization is structured prohibits that. It makes it impossible for somebody to actually think and do something more humane. And that's the problem I have. That's what makes it different. Yes, they're human beings. Yes, they're nice people. But they have this code. This code that they must follow. And that's where the problem is. And unfortunately, the media just reinforces this. There's no way that the demonstrators over this weekend will get the credit for things going good. Things going good, that means that the police prevented them from doing something bad. And if things went bad, it's because the protesters did something bad. So why don't you hold that bag up to the microphone so we can hear it better?
All right.
So, you know, it's basically people. People are doing what they have always done. And if you look back, you know, I wasn't around during the anti-war demonstrations of the 60s, but I imagine that it was a lot more open and a lot more free. All right, we're not talking about terrorists here, although we're acting as if we are, and that's something that It's not right. People need to see this. People need to speak out. And the only way to do that is to listen to alternative viewpoints and to participate. You don't have to agree. You don't have to agree with what people are saying. But, Dan, you need to defend the right for people to stand up and say things. Nobody would defend the right of anybody who threw a rock through a window. Nobody would that I know certainly would defend that. Yet, that is how it's been portrayed. We covered the WTO shenanigans back in November 1999, and it did not happen the way it was reported in the mass media. However, history has been rewritten. History has been rewritten so that it did. It's sad. Mike, did you see anything interesting in the media?
A bunch of lies.
You had first-hand contact, obviously, the people infiltrating.
Right. I mean, I searched through the media for anything interesting and didn't really find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bunch of repetition of the police line.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I can't trust the media anymore.
It's sad because the media is there for us, but it's not being run for us. It's being run for, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm reciting party lines or anything like this, but they are being run for corporate interests. There is no question about that.
You know, whenever anyone in the media tries to do something nice for people,
mm-hmm.
they're generally, you know, shut down. There was a New York Times reporter who asked permission, and so we allowed to come to one of our meetings. There was no problem there. To write a story about anarchism and, you know, what it actually is.
Uh-huh.
So we wrote the story, and it got cut, basically. You know, they cut out all the stuff about what anarchists think and, you know, put in more about how they wear bandanas.
what they want to reinforce.
Right.
Not actually what they're saying. It's sad. It really is very sad.
It's entertainment.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, people want to be scared. They want to think that there's some evil threat out there. But you know what? The threat ain't coming from these people. I was never so proud to be in a crowd of people like this. And at the party I mentioned on Saturday, more of the same. You know, it's funny. We were at the door. In fact, you were handling admissions. Somehow I became a bouncer for about an hour, which was kind of fun. Didn't really need to be a bouncer, but it's kind of cool to, you know, stand at the entrance to a club and fold your arms and look mean. But we had, how many people showed up? You were counting.
A lot of people. Well over 1,000. I don't have an exact count.
I think it was over 1,200.
Yeah, that's over 1,000.
Yeah. That's a better number, though. According to CNN, that was the total march was in that boat where the club was. It's just not right. There was something like 20,000 people there. Have the cops left Starbucks yet? Are they still standing outside every Starbucks? Do you know how much money that costs?
Right. I live up 114th Street, and there's a Starbucks, of course, right across the street from me. And yesterday, there were still cops standing there.
Yeah. Well, yesterday, technically. Actually, was the conference still going on Monday?
I don't know. There was a demonstration yesterday against Enron. A lot of people were arrested. I don't know a lot about it.
Uh-huh. Well, I just wonder how much that actually cost and whose bright idea it was to, you know, to put somebody outside all these places and, you know, make it so that they were being threatened somehow. You know, I mean, I just think their abilities could have been used in such a better way. And the fact that not a single one was threatened in any particular way, I think underlines that. And yeah, they'll say that it's because they were standing there. I don't think so. You know, I think it would have been a good idea to keep police presence to a minimum and just let our goodwill, dissent, all that mesh together and go back to democracy, kind of like what we've done here. You don't have to lock people out. You don't have to, you know, have these barriers and borders and guards where basically you let people speak. And sometimes it gets messy and sometimes cars get blocked and you don't get what you need to get immediately. But that's the price of freedom. That's the real price of freedom. And it really annoys me when people feel they have to give up so much to keep their definition of freedom, which I just don't see as free anymore. 212-209-2950. Phone lines are empty now, and we need to add more. We're up to about $1,000. All right, here's what we're going to do. 2600 Enterprises, the people who put out 2600 Magazine, who we're affiliated with, will pledge a matching fund of $1,000, which must be met between now and the end of the show. In other words, if we get $1,000 from our listeners from this point on, then we will donate $1,000. And that's $2,000 for the radio station. That's how matching funds work. But if we don't reach $1,000, well, that means that means we don't get the matching fund. It's the way it works. Sorry, you know, so that's the way it has to be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a matching fund. So those of you who are out there now want to support the place, make your dollars count twice as much by pledging. So if you pledge $50, you're actually giving $100 to the station because we'll match that with another $50. 212-209-2950, and that didn't work. We didn't get a single phone call yet. There's a phone call. Okay, let's light up those phone lines. 212-209-2950, particularly those people from around the country, around the world, who now listen to WBAI over the Internet and hear things coming out of here like you never heard before. We have different levels, $25, $50, $75, $150. You can ask the Tally people who pick up the phone exactly what it is that you can get for those. And help support the radio station. Keep us going. Four calls on the line. Let's make that eight, because that'll get us closer to the 1,000 mark and 2,000 for the radio station. We all have to pull together now. This is a crisis. It's a good crisis, though, because there's hope. The crisis we faced over the last year, I got to tell you, it was kind of hopeless at points, you know, because you just thought there was no light. Claude, you're here. Finished with the bag?
Well, no, I've just stopped tormenting it.
Uh-huh. So now, you've been around for the past, well, you've been around forever, but the last year, you haven't been around as much the last year.
That's right.
Why is that? Why did you feel that the station was not welcoming you with open arms?
It certainly wasn't. It certainly wasn't. And it feels, to see the door propped open,
uh-huh,
it's a welcome relief.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Five calls, 212-209-2950.
And to see familiar faces that I hadn't seen in a while. I mean, since the events, mm-hmm, of December 2000, I think I'd been here, you know, a handful of times. And even then, only briefly, the atmosphere was deadly. And I hope that the air sound, which you're hearing now, may reflect some of the more buoyant spirits that prevail over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like a work environment where really nasty. I'm sure a lot of people out there who work for a living, which is most of our listeners, know this. When nasty people take over, they kill the environment. And they make it so that you can't express yourself without fear of retribution of some sort. And, you know, I almost got an ulcer doing this radio show because of the things I'd say and, you know, wondering what's going to happen to me. And, you know, it's not something that I depend on for a living because none of us get paid to do this. But it is a channel, a vital channel, to get the word out about things like Kevin Mitnick, Bernie S., Fiber Optic, and all the things in the future. All the things about the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and the horrible stuff that's going to be happening down the road. We need this outlet. We need to be able to reach people not only in New York City, but throughout the entire world. And this radio station provides that. And to lose that, especially because we're standing up for freedom of speech, would have been ironic, but it would have hurt. It would have hurt a lot. And it was a real touchy situation for almost the entire time. And I don't think there was a week that went by where I didn't feel worried about that. And it's just great to like be back and not worry about that. We can actually, mm-hmm, think about the station, about where we're going. You know, programs like we did this past weekend where we can cover things and teach people and have people contribute and provide their own diverse opinions. That's what it's all about. 212-209-2950, we have eight calls, so we're on the way.
There's a ton of volunteers in there, so keep them busy.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to see, too. It's a good thing to see the station filled with people, as it's been the last few weeks. 212-209-2950 is our phone number. Again, the pledged levels are 25, 50, 75, 150, or thousands, tens of thousands, whatever you want to contribute. I'm sure there's rich people out there that can appreciate the thing we do, even if you don't agree. You know, I don't think rich people are evil, necessarily. You know, they tend to buy into things which I think are misguided, but, you know, they say the same thing about us. It's if we can learn to communicate, what better way to communicate than a radio station, and what other radio station permits the back-and-forth dialogue that we have here at this place? 212-209-2950. This is the second day of the fund drive, the Spring 2002 fund drive, which is going to be an historic one. We need to do better here than we've done before, and there's a big emphasis on programming as usual, this particular fund drive, because we want people to support the station, not because they're getting a book, not because they're getting a coffee mug, but because they want the radio station here. They want to invest in it. They want to become one of our sponsors. We don't have commercials. If you tune around, oh, God, the crap you hear on radio everywhere. It got me so angry just listening to the non-coverage of events, important events that are taking place, or just the same word-for-word reporting of you know, things that are going on around the world, or just simply the lack of things going on around the world. You go to other countries and you hear this. You go here and you hear music and commercials, corporate sponsorship. And you grow up with that, and you think that's all there is, and your world becomes kind of dead.
You know, in terms of the radio competition for BAI, there were two big hits over the last year or two. I'm not sure when the two events happened. One was WEVD.
Oh, yeah.
Just turned into another sports station.
Well, we need three sports stations.
Oh, yeah, well,
alternative, I mean, sports.
Can't have too much sports, right? And the other is that the BBC stopped broadcasting to North America by shortwave.
Yeah,
I mean, if you want to listen to them at 3 in the morning, then you can tune in on an FM station.
No, actually, on two FM stations now, which is something I don't understand. WNYE and WNYC now simulcast, even though they both reach about the same audience signal-wise.
Mm.
NYC lost its transmitter in the World Trade Center, obviously, but their backup reaches, at least on my radio, reaches as far as WNYE. So a lot of the programming at WNYE has been canceled to make way for NPR programming, which I don't think is right. You know, I don't think they should cancel local programmers ever for that kind of a thing.
Well, I mean, I think that part of that had to do with the World Trade Center bombing. I'm not quite clear.
Yeah, obviously because they lost the transmitter, and I guess they feel that that they need to reach more people. But they're reaching the same people. That one transmitter is in Brooklyn, one transmitter is in New Jersey. It's not that much of a difference. So, and this is a trend. Here in New York, of course, it's a trend nationwide, where most radio stations tend to be owned by the same corporations in the same cities. But here in New York, we've seen other stations go away that provided alternatives. We've seen WNWK, which used to be a great station for alternative music, on the FM dial. Well, that turned into a super commercial station, and all the people there got moved to a low-power AM station, and nobody can hear them anymore. And, of course, that's probably going to go away sometime soon as well. Radio is dying. It really is. And this is the one spark of life. So if you're going to contribute anywhere, this is the place to contribute. This is the time to contribute. 212-209-2950. We have the $1,000 2600 matching fund. And we're up to $2,070. So it looks like it's a good shot that we made that. I want to thank people who are calling in. Makes a big difference. Really makes a big difference. I mean, you're not one of a small, you're not a small part of a huge number. We're a family. We're a bunch of people that pull our resources together, and every bit matters. When we started, we had, I think, $25, and now we're way up there. And by the end of the day, the station total will be even higher than that. By the end of the week, even higher, because people, as individuals, are calling up. We're not taking corporate sponsorships. We're not taking grants from IBM or Microsoft or anything like that. We wouldn't do that. That's not what we're about. We're about individual contributions. Every single one counts. So if you pledge $25, it adds up, and that makes us get closer to our goal, which I think is over $1 million. Sounds like a staggering figure. It is a staggering figure. But the fact that we're able to do it, and we have in the past, that means that people are out there and they're contributing. 212-209-2950.
And you surprised me.
Well, I didn't know who was talking.
Around quiet.
So many people are here. I didn't know who was talking.
Scary. That if you can hear these words, you are, by definition, a listener.
Mm-hmm.
And you might give some thought and actually some action to supporting the station that you take the trouble to listen to.
That's right. And
those less of you, and less worthy of being listened to.
Those of you who came to the demonstrations and helped support the station. Autojack, you were at two of the demonstrations, weren't you?
Yeah, I believe I was.
Now, why, apart from, you know, me asking you to, why would you come to a demonstration to support a radio station 3,000 miles away from where you live?
I don't know. Over time, I've begun to enjoy listening to things that I hear on WBAI, even listening to it over the internet. I mean, you know, for as long as I can remember, there has been interesting programming. It did get a little fuzzy for a while, and, you know, that sucks. But, you know, it's a lot better now. Especially after listening to it after the last, weekend or two.
Uh-huh.
I'm really glad, like, people like Mike Fader and Bob Fast, you know, are now back on the air.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. It's such a secure feeling to be able to turn on the radio and hear a friendly voice, not being talked down to, not being shouted at, not having people be cut off, not being told to say goodbye, but instead to say hello.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We have names. Actually, Mike, I'm going to give you this story, because you might have some more information about it. It concerns the guy who was running RaiseTheFist.com, which we talked about last week. If you hand me those names, I'll thank those people while you interpret. Try to filter out the media crap that's in that story, since it did come from a major newspaper.
And if you want to add your name to the list that he's about to read, you can call 212-209-2950.
And pledge any amount, $25, $50, $75, $150. You'll get all kinds of VAI goodies in exchange for that. And anybody pledging $25 or more will get a 2600 T-shirt, the new 2600 T-shirt, which nobody has seen yet. Including me. No, I haven't seen it. Well, I've seen the artwork. I've seen the artwork, and it's really cool.
Hmm.
We should have the shirts ready in about a week, and that's when they'll start going out. But for the people who pledged for the last couple of pledge drives, and these people kind enough to pledge for us, it's just the one of the contributions that we feel we have to make, in addition to our $1,000 matching fund, which I'm hoping that we're going to reach. I'm going to go in there, and another indication, not a very good indication, but an indication of how vital people are, if we miss it by $5. Sorry, guys, that's how it works. One person could have called up and reached the matching fund for $1,000. You know, if it's $995, but one
a different
person,
kind of tipping point.
Yeah, yeah. So 212-209-2950. The time is now. Why are you putting on a mask?
I'm putting on a mask because apparently it makes me violent and evil.
Yeah, you were wearing a mask over the weekend, but it was because it was cold, I think.
Right.
It was really cold outside.
Apparently, wearing this mask makes me a violent anarchist.
Uh-huh. Is that what the newspaper was saying?
Yeah. They found a mask similar to the one I'm wearing now in the home of Sherman Austin, who's from California, who used to run a website called RaiseTheFist.com, until that website was shut down by the FBI.
But they found a mask in his home in California.
Right.
Okay, fine. I guess that's a real threat to people in New York.
Am I the only person that didn't bring a prop?
Also, an open bag of Miracle-Gro.
Well, that you don't know what you're going to grow. You know, it could be all kinds of things.
Anyway, he's going to be in court Thursday at 2:30 p.m.
Okay.
If people want to show up for that. He's been charged with a felony, which is criminal distribution of information about explosives and weapons of mass destruction. Whatever that means.
Let's. So that court is where?
That is, I'm not sure if it's in L.A. or New York. It's a very poorly written article.
They fly him all the way to New York.
Well, he was in New York for the WEF protests.
Okay.
This article appeared in Newsday today.
All right. Well, you can go to their website and maybe translate what they're saying.
You can't go to their website. It's been shut down.
Newsday.com?
Oh, Newsday.
Yeah,
Newsday.
Try to translate their story.
Sorry.
Let's quickly thank people because we have to get out of here. And again, this is the last chance to call for this program. 212-209-2950. If you're outside the country, country code is 1, of course. 212-209-2950. Pledge what you can for the radio station. Keep us going.
And it'll go twice as far at the moment.
That's right. We have 5 calls on the line. We're up to 2,070. Hopefully there's more that hasn't been counted yet, but we do need to reach that $1,000 in the past 20 minutes for the matching fund to be effective. I want to thank John from Brooklyn. We want to thank Kurt from Richland, Washington, out of state pledge there. Thanks so much. We want to thank Heath, great name, Heath, from Edison, New Jersey, and Gary from Bloomfield, New Jersey, a lot of New Jersey listeners tonight, Judy from San Francisco, California. We want to thank Carol Ann from Brooklyn, I believe. They didn't write Brooklyn. They're going to have to write that on this. It's either Brooklyn or Queens, but it looks like Brooklyn, the address. We want to thank Daniel from Albany and Greg from Atlanta, Joshua from Bayonne, New Jersey, Jim from Paramus, New Jersey, Jack from New Rochelle, New York. We want to thank Patricia from New York, New York for her contribution. Paul from Stokesdale, North Carolina. Thank you so much for your pledge. Mark from Brooklyn, New York. And Jeffrey from Brooklyn. We also want to thank Tim from Greenlawn out there on the island. Bill from... Okay, this... can't read. Granite Springs, New York. Somewhere around. Thanks. So sorry if we butchered the name. And we want to thank Anne from New York for her generous pledge as well. And if you didn't hear your names because we didn't get names quickly enough, because, your calls are still coming in, which is great. 212-209-2950. Thanks, everybody, for calling in and being a part of this. It makes so much of a difference. And hopefully we'll be able to prove that to you in the days, weeks, months, years ahead. It makes an incredible difference. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week, hopefully. Good night.
Victim of police misconduct or abuse, then call the Police Brutality Hotline, sponsored by New York City Police Watch. The hotline offers free legal advice and refers to experienced lawyers, and also free and immediate medical assessments from doctors from the New York City chapter of Physicians for Social Responsibility. Your call will help New York City Police Watch to expose police abuse throughout the city and will provide powerful information to grassroots communities organizing to end police brutality. Remember, you must file a notice of claim within 90 days of the incident. The Police Brutality Hotline number is 646-336-6789. That's 646-336-6789. This has been a public service announcement by WBAI on behalf of New York City Police Watch.